Psalm 68, verses 19 through 35, these are God's words. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to Yahweh the Lord belong escapes from death. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were maidens playing timbrels. Bless God and the congregation, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us because of your temple at Jerusalem. Kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. Till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. I will sing praises to the Lord, to him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God, his excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. This all is a response to verse 18, God ascending victorious and leading captivity captive and giving gifts among men, receiving gifts among men. This is a response to Jesus, of course, then, as Ephesians 4 teaches us. And we know that he is the one who ascends and enters in the everlasting doors from the earlier Psalms, make way for him. The King is Jesus. And in the second half of the psalm here, we have one of those inclusios, one of those passages of scripture that begin and end with the same idea, sometimes the very same words. Verse 19, blessed be the Lord, and the end of verse 35, blessed be God. He is the blessed God, and we are to rejoice in Jesus. And in his victory, and in his salvation. And so this half of the psalm teaches us for what we are blessing him. And it is because all salvation belongs to him. He is, verse 19, the God of our salvation. He's the one who loads us with benefits, and who has redeemed us from death. So, we bless Jesus as God from whom all blessing comes and from whom all salvation comes, and who has chosen to display himself as God precisely by blessing us and by saving us. So that's the first theme here, blessed be God at the beginning and the end, knowing that this is how he has displayed himself to us. But his blessing and saving us doesn't mean that there are no enemies. One of the things that we've begun to see and are going to see as one of the main themes in the rest of the book of Acts, is that while Jesus sits on his throne in heaven, giving his salvation to all those for whom he has secured it, applying his redemption to all those for whom he has accomplished it, while Jesus does that, his people on earth are much opposed and persecuted and attacked, and many times even killed. So being saved by God and blessed by God does not in this life mean having no enemies. And so you see that in verses 21 through 23. There are enemies. But what does God do? He wounds the head of his enemies. And we remember then, of course, Genesis 3 and the serpent who would bruise Christ's, the serpent who would bruise Christ's heel, but Christ would crush his head. And so he deals the death blow. And second half of verse 21, it uses poetic language to do similarly to zooming in and showing the reality and intensity of this, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses, the one who doesn't see that the patience, kindness of God is meant to lead us to repentance, but instead of turning from their sin because they have not been punished with hell yet, they persist in their sin and they store up against themselves wrath against the day of wrath. And it says, you there with the head and the scalp and the hair sticking out of your scalp, you who are continuing in your trespasses and continue to make yourself an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the one who needs to be saved, who needs to be given repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ, to be washed in his blood and forgiven of your sin, because God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. And those who are God's enemies are his people's enemies. We saw even in the passage on the Lord's Day how quickly those who just didn't have a saving response to the preaching of the word, and they were kind of indifferent, polite, but rather uninterested church members, quickly became those who blaspheme and contradict and oppose. And we'll see in next week's passage in Acts how such people quickly even become those who plot to kill Christians. Jesus says he has not come to bring peace, but a sword. Of course, he's come to bring peace between God and men for all for whom he dies and to and whom he brings to faith. But these, he brings a sword between them and all the rest of humanity, even between parents and children and husband and wife. And so those who are God's enemies are our enemies. Romans 16, the apostle says that God will soon crush Satan under our feet. And you see that connection here. The Lord getting from the highest mountain, which we saw represented earlier in the psalm with Bashan. And here it appears again in that sort of usage, the first half of verse 22. From the highest mountain to the lowest sea, none of his enemies will escape, and they will be brought that your foot, verse 23, may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from enemies. And so accursed be God's enemies. This is one of the ways that God is the blessed God, by destroying his and our enemies. But blessed be his people who are in his procession. God alone is the king, of course. But as he goes into the sanctuary here, note those who are the priestly accompaniment of Jesus. Jesus is the new great high priest. The old priesthood, it was only Levites. This is everyone, and this is not just men, but even women are in this processional. So the singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. And you think, wait a minute. The priestly musicians were only men in the temple when the Levitical priests were ordained and they're looking forward to Christ and his priesthood. What are women doing playing the timbrels in the sanctuary here? And the answer is because Christ is the only worship-leading priest, the great high priest. All of his people become part of the choir. All of his people become have the role that the instruments had. Jesus, of course, being the great musician who makes us to sing with that melody in the heart that is grace in the heart, not timbrels and harps and all those sorts of things. But just like earlier, whereas the women of Israel were kingly, they declared the word, they declared their victory, and they divide the spoils, and so forth. So also the women here in the wake of Christ's victory get to be connected to Christ and in the sanctuary as in priestly function, as it were, every bit as much as the men. This is one of the great advances in Christ's ascension and Christ sitting down on the throne, is that the women get the covenant sign. They didn't get the covenant sign in the administration under Moses, but they get the covenant sign in the administration under Jesus. So the blessing of his people Israel is that even the least, and that's the role of Zebulun and Naphtali, they get mentioned with Benjamin and Judah, which were some of the more prominent tribes in verse 27. But even Zebulun and even Naphtali, two tribes from which you don't hear very much or very often, are there with their princes in this great procession of King Jesus, an innumerable multitude of high kings and queens, as it were. And the scripture uses that language, doesn't it, of the church, a royal priesthood and a holy nation, are all who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So blessed be his people, Israel, here, Benjamin, Judah, Zebulun, Naphtali, but we find some unlikely, not just that there are women and not just that there are people from less prominent tribes, but some unlikely members of Christ's kingdom in verse 31. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God, sing to God, "You kingdoms of the earth," they sing praises to the Lord. And so the strength that God has displayed and that we are to ascribe to him, especially in song, is something not just for Benjamin, Judah, Zebulun, Naphtali, but even Ethiopia, even Egypt, which in their role as the great enemy from which the Lord initially delivered his people as he was first constituting them as a church and as a state. It's marvelous here to see Egyptians in the great assembly. And so we return then to the theme of the first 17 verses, that God himself is the blessedness and strength of his people. To him who rides in the heavens of heavens, sing to him, is verse 32, and then to him who rides in the heavens heaven of heavens, sing to him as a God over all creation, who sends out his voice, a mighty voice, not just that he created by, but now by which he has redeemed. Ascribe strength to God, his excellence is over Israel, his strength is in the clouds. And then, O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. That the assembly of the Lord's people and the place where he makes his glory most to be displayed, his holy places, the greatness of that assembly, the greatness of that place, the greatness of the public worship, is not the worship acts, but God himself, who is glorified in those acts. It is he who is our strength. It is he who is our power. Verse 35. In God himself is all of the blessedness and strength. Indeed, in God himself is all blessedness and strength, full stop. But all of the blessedness and strength of his people. And so the purpose and the conclusion and the praise of what Jesus has accomplished, what is prophesied here in Psalm 68, is the blessedness of our God, who has chosen to show that blessedness by being our Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this psalm as a whole and this portion of it that is our portion today and on the coming Lord's Day in the beginning part of the worship service. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless to us its truth, that your Spirit would make that which we have studied to have its effect in the way that we think and the way that we live. You, O Lord, are all the blessedness of your people. You have displayed your glory in the clouds and in the heavens of the heavens. Man sends a telescope out a few 100,000 miles to try to peek as far as he can, and all he can do is see some of the hints of the display of your glory. And so we thank you that your favorite display of your glory is to be our Savior, to save us from our sin, to take us from being enemies and make us to kiss the Son before his wrath is quickly kindled, that we wouldn't perish. And so we pray, Lord, that you would be stirring up in our heart a knowledge of you, knowing you as our strength, knowing you as our happiness, knowing you as our reward, knowing you as our God, knowing you as our Savior, that we would marvel at you and adore you and praise you, even marveling that we who are descended from Egypt could be named in contradiction to what our people were guilty of as those whom you bring to yourself, to praise you as our Savior. So be glorified, O God, in all that you have done, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.